the El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
And thank you, Ross Mitchell. And, oh, that was that Ross? What? I'm awfully sorry. Phil will be here in just a moment. This is Art Bell. A very pleasant good evening to all of you, no matter where you are. Phil will be here in just a moment.
Thank you, though, man. I appreciate that, brother.
That's all right, Phil. We all stick together as broadcasters. Now I've got to go back to Philippines.
All right, thank you.
And this music is maudlin, isn't it? It's very Catholic.
It is. It's very Catholic. So, all right. Anyway, welcome to the program, folks. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show here from the El Pacifico.
And tonight is going to be a bit of a grab bag because of the last few days thrown off physically. I had a lot of junk food thrown into me, a lot of poisonous sugars, a really good food. And as the result, I feel like a bloated thing today, Margaret Gray.
Well, Phil, oh, thank you. That's a very classy, as they say.
Yeah, he tossed it to you.
Yeah, I know he tossed it. Oh, did he toss it to me?
Yeah.
Anyway, Phil.
Easy, bud.
That was a very classy way of throwing things to me. How do you feel?
I feel good, except, as I said, it was 3 days with the wonderful people on the Marin TV show. A classy bunch of people, happy crew. And as I said, good food. So what happens is you eat a lot of chocolate bars. That's what I was trying to get at, you know.
Well, what's wrong with that, Phil?
Chocolate bars, nothing wrong with that, except it puts on weight, and it's a lot of sugar, and it's not the way I eat anymore, General, you know?
Yeah, you're eating more of a free health food, right?
Well, not health food.
No, not health foods. I'm just eating better, man. I eat a lot of low-calorie stuff, greens and low-cal protein, and that's my thing, you know, all of that, what, Robert?
Well, what about that whey powder?
Yeah, what is that powder you got?
Oh, that I know that. That's the protein powder, correct?
Yeah, protein powder, I eat that. And so when I went and I did the show, there's a lot of food on set that they have, which is for energy, and it isn't necessarily the kind of thing that's going to keep your fat ass from getting any fatter, but nonetheless, I ate it. And so it kind of throws you off a little bit, and that's why I'm feeling today like I'd much rather just be sleeping or laying down.
In other words, you want to just lay on a floor and watch television?
Well,
you want to lay on... Frank does that on occasion, and Jason J. Delmonico, when they feel as if they've been really working hard or studying hard, and they eat a lot of cheese sandwiches and donuts and cream puffs, then they just want to lay on a floor, and hopefully if you could mount the television on the ceiling.
Yeah, then they'd stare at the...
Yes, they'd stare at the TV on the ceiling.
Well, yeah, that's kind of how I feel, but it's nice to be back with everybody anyway. And again, our thanks to the fine folks there at Marin. And when that show is about to air, I'm sure we're going to find out when. We'll let you know, and you will see, as I will, the end result of all of those efforts. And yesterday, I don't want to tell you anything about what we did, but yesterday was a quote. I shouldn't say quote. Well, yeah, I'll put it in quotes because it may mean one thing to some people and something else to others. It was a very physical day. In my book, that means, you know, you're moving your body around a lot, and that's what was happening. And so I got home last night, and then today woke up. And what happens after you've had a pretty physical day, you know, whether you're lifting weights or riding a bike or you've been in a prize fight or you've been in a football game or you've been moving furniture, is you're sore. And that was me, you know.
Well, Phil, you're not a spring chicken. What are you trying to do anyway?
What do you mean, what am I trying to do?
Well, what she's saying, Phil, is you're not a young man anymore.
I'm not a young man, so...
Well, you're probably going to, well...
Yeah, do you feel like you're going to get injured?
No, I didn't feel like I was going to get injured, no. I didn't feel like I was going to get injured at all. The only thing that happens when you... If you guys are talking about getting older, you're going to get injured because you're doing... The only thing that happens to you when you're older is you don't get injured so much as you get tired. You probably get tired a lot faster. I don't feel like I'm any weaker. I feel like I'm just, you know, I can't hang in as long as I used to. But I don't feel, to be honest with you, I don't feel any, and I was working with people yesterday. Nobody, in other words, yesterday.
Phil, it's all right. You don't have to go into a big, long explanation.
No, I feel like I should go into an explanation now. Nobody yesterday, when I was asked to do what I did in this particular scene, nobody said to me, oh, he's too old. You better not have him do that. No, it wasn't even mentioned. you know, you just went ahead and did it.
Well, maybe they... Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure. I was there, wasn't I?
That's it. So no one said, don't hurt the old man.
Yeah, you didn't hear that? No, nobody said, don't hurt the old man.
All right, Phil, don't get so defensive. We're just...
Yeah, you got to make sure.
Well, Margaret, I think that's a bit offensive, but to recap, Phil, even though she's going over the line, no one said, don't hurt that old guy.
No one said that. Jesus. Nobody said that. Like I said, the only thing that I've noticed about, if you want to talk about getting older, the only thing I've noticed about it is, yeah, you tire out more. But in terms of physical strength, that's not an issue. I bet you there's a lot of other people my age that would say the same thing. Because there's young people who think, oh, you get old and you get enfeebled and you're weak and you this and that. No, if you're in relatively good health, the only thing that happens is you sort of like, I don't feel like working the extra 2 hours that I used to work. I don't want, you know, I want to go home now instead of like in another three. In other words, you're lazier because, you know, there are more fun things on television.
Yay!
Exactly. All right, so what else has been happening in this world? One of the things that I did notice was the area that we were working, and it was an old neighborhood in the city of Los Angeles. Old neighborhoods are great. I don't know if you're into the history thing like I am, but... One of the things that I really like about, you know, the world of history is obviously anything that you can be around that is historic. Not just read about it in a book, but you're around it. And in Los Angeles, like in any city in this country, anywhere you go, you find old buildings, old places that are just fascinating, you know.
Well, yes, but when I went to the Sundance with you, not Sundance, but we went to Aspen that year.
Well, we were in Aspen for the... No, we weren't in Aspen. We were in Park City.
Yeah, that's it. Park City. We went to Park City, Utah, ladies and gentlemen. Phil did a remote broadcast from the local stations there.
All right, you're starting to get that lazy lip again, Margaret.
I'm what?
No, Phil's right. Just you're beginning to get into that. You're going, when we went to Park City that year.
Oh, would you? The two of you grow up a little bit.
All right, but just don't do the whole, we went to Park City that year.
I want people to understand the import of what we did. We went to Park City. Just let me do it my way. One year, Phil and I went to, along with the show staff, to Park City, Utah for a remote broadcast. And it was at that time that I did see on one of the streets there in Park City a building that was pointed out to me, but I already knew because I got a very uneasy feeling around it.
You're talking about that one building that used to be a brothel.
Yes, I'm talking about the one building that used to be a brothel. You don't have to throw it off, Phil. It's very serious.
Yo, it's just serious about that. Are you nuts or something?
Don't do it, bud. Don't laugh. Not this early in the evening.
All right, we what happened, folks?
You don't need to explain it, Phil. I already did.
Yeah, I know, but I want people to get the... I want to give them the full picture here. We went up the street on our way up to the broadcast site, which was in Deer Valley. And we're in Park City, and Deer Valley is just the little snow area there, or the skiing area.
The snow, yes, it's called the snow area. Get him.
Yeah, it's called the ski area, not the snow area.
Well, haven't you ever been skiing before?
Actually, I've only been skiing once.
You gotta be kidding me.
That's right. Only skiing one time in my life. Snow skiing?
Yeah.
Yep. Didn't turn me on at all. I like the snow, and I like to sit and drink whatever the hell it is you drink in front of the fire. And I don't mind going out and snowshoeing and throwing snowballs. Skiing, I couldn't give a sweet damn. Doesn't matter to me.
Well, you anti-so... Boy, that's...
Woo!
That is huge.
So you're willing to stand by that?
Yes, I'm willing to stand. We got to take a break. Is that okay?
Well, you want a break now, and you've just made a rather monumental statement.
Hold on. We'll be right back. We're going to take a break, and we can get into the terrible, monumental, and destructive thing I've just said, that I've never been snow skiing before in my life. The world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Our number is 855-500-7445. We're online at philhenryshow.com. A backstage pass gets you a subscription access to our website, where you can watch our video cast each and every night, get the podcast of our radio show each day, the next day. You get the entire archive of our radio show going back 15 years. Some of the most groundbreaking, revolutionary radio ever heard in the history of mortal man on this planet. And then, of course, if you're over at TuneIn, you can listen to the show tonight. That's right. With a TuneIn app, you've got the Phil Hendry Show live 7 to 10 Pacific. We'll be right back.
The Phil Hendry Show continues.
And anyway, welcome back here. Thank you, Bert Bertenzel. I don't know who that was. Just
some man that walked in.
Some guy, very good announcer, just walked in here. Now he's just walked right out again. And he had a bottle of, it looked like, Red Mountain Wine.
Ooh, yeah.
So anyway, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And Bold Johnson's going to join us from Park City. He is a historian, not the official historian. He's just one of many people with stories to tell, a history that he personally keeps of the area. And we'll talk with him about this. This was a section of Park City that we were in a number of years ago. And Bold, grateful for you to take time out of your busy night to be with us.
Well, it's my pleasure. I don't know what I can help you with, but let's see what we can do.
All right. Do you know that part of Park City we're talking about?
Yeah, that's the northern part of the city. It's up above the ramp there, I think. I'm not anywhere near Park City. I'm a crank phone caller.
Sorry.
Will you find out who you got on the phone before you put him through?
I thought this was the guy.
The guy said he was a historian.
Well, isn't that nice? He said he was a historian. I'm sorry, I'm not the guy. I'm just a crank caller.
Boy, you guys are really losing your touch. You too, Phil, for you to take a call like that.
Anyway, so we went to Park City. Forget about the historian. We went to Park City.
Well, you've got guys coming in here and announcing and then wandering, coming in with a bottle of wine and then leaving.
Right. We should probably just lock the door. And so we went to Park City, and we were on our way up to the broadcast center when, lo and behold, there was this building. I don't know how we found out about it, but it was a place that had at one time been a brothel. And it was right there at the top of this street that was on an incline. Park City itself is, as you might imagine, any town there in the Midwest. It's a place that has hills and swales, and it's a very interesting city to drive in, never mind walk in. And so there we were, and this person, whoever it was, do you remember who it was that was talking to us?
I know who it was. It was the man from the local Salt Lake City station.
Yes, I forgot this chap's name. He was with his wife, very nice people that were showing us around the area. He was from one of the local, he was from our affiliate in Salt Lake City. And they said that place used to be a brothel.
Yes, and when he said it, do you remember what I said? I said, my God, that's the feeling that now I understand the feeling I got.
Now you understand the feeling that you, I don't remember that. No, I don't.
You don't remember? I had a feeling, ladies and gentlemen, when we went by this building, I had this feeling, and I would appreciate it.
Yeah.
What are you looking at, Bud?
See, he's already making faces.
Well,
what are you going to say?
I had the feeling that I was being fondled.
Oh, for God's sake, Margaret, is that, what are you, are you psychic to any ghost that wants to cop to get the cheap feel? What?
Did I say that I'm psychic to that?
Well, you're talking about now, you're driving. You didn't tell me this at the time.
Well, what am I going to do, Phil? Blurt out in the car? You want me to blurt that out in the car?
What are you going to blurt out in the car?
Oh, my God, I feel a hand between my legs.
Well,
probably going to think it's Mr. Hendry. That would be bad.
Yes, exactly. And I don't want anyone to think that. You and I were in the back seat along with your wife, Maria. Do you remember?
Yes, I do remember. All right, I understand.
Yes, I'm not going to blurt that out. Oh, God, I feel a hand between my legs and one down the back of my panties. I'm not going to say that.
So you're telling me that as we were driving by this brothel in Park City, you got fondled by a ghost?
Did I say...
Yeah,
pretty much, Ms. Gray, that's what you're saying.
Well, Margaret, I've got to agree with him. In so many words, yes.
I know that that's what it sounds... I didn't say that a ghost fondled me. But there was some kind of kinetic memory, some sort of a poltergeister-esque memory. Okay?
All right.
Now, this is a very real thing, Phil. If you read up on the psychic kind of stuff, whatever it is, I don't know. What are you looking at?
Yeah, get it right.
Never mind about that, okay?
Look, Margaret, don't worry about how he's looking at you.
When he gives me that bug-eyed look. So anyway, I felt as if I was in the presence of...
a guy that was dead that had his hand on your pants.
But where is that screwdriver when I need it?
Hey, come on, watch it.
Well?
Bud, shut up. Now, you were talking to us in the car about feeling unwell, as I remember.
Yes.
But I had no idea it had anything to do with a ghost with its hand.
Did I say with a ghost?
Well, then what is it going to be, Margaret, if there's something with its hand between your legs and down the, quote, back of your panties?
My God, you make everything vulgar, don't you? A moment like that that could be studied by psychic researchers, and you turn it into a penthouse letter to the editor. Do you see what you do? Are you looking at that, Phil?
Margaret?
No. I just want to... are you stopping down and looking at your behavior?
I didn't say the words that were said. You did. I'm quoting you.
Margaret, he's quoting. You're the one that said you felt... all right, so it wasn't a ghost. But you felt the hand of a dead... was it dead?
What was what dead?
Whatever had its hand down your pants.
I didn't say it was a ghost.
Well, then what has a hand that isn't a ghost?
Have you ever heard of the disembodied? Have any of you?
The disembodied? No, I haven't.
You? No. The disembodied are the disembodied yet intelligent factors that make up a human being, and they can be perceived as the hand, the head, the foot. That's why many people have reported seeing heads floating down hallways.
Is that a head that's it's a disembodied head?
No, it's disembodied.
Is it part of a person?
Not really.
Well, what is it?
It's a head that can speak, and in this case, a hand that could...
Why did the hand grab a hold?
Yes, the hand, if you will, got a handful.
All right, so this is a hand that doesn't necessarily belong to a human, because it's not a ghost. It's just a disembodied spirit hand?
Don't get smart, Phil.
Well, what do you want me to call it? Is it a spirit hand, or what is it?
What do you call it?
It is the disembodied hand.
That knows enough to squeeze your ass.
That knows... yes.
All right.
I'm going to have to get an expert on... could you get Dr. Sadler, please, or...
No. Dr. Sadler is out of town.
We'll get Dr. Tarner or someone. I need a researcher, and I need one now.
All right, let's get either Dr. Ron Tarner or the gentleman from Tupelo. I forget what his name was. No, he had the primate house. We'll find somebody. We want a psychic researcher. That's who we've got to have.
Yes, a psychic researcher or my husband, Frank. Either one will do.
Yeah. All right, we're going to be back here on the Phil Henry Show with this discussion, or not, as the case may be. We had some weather today we're going to tell you a little bit about, only because it was so freakishly warm. I mean, I got up this morning, and it might as well have been the middle of summer. I'm not kidding you. Now, I know that I'm not trying to rub it in. I know there's a lot of folks that have just been through some very serious and very nasty weather across this country. It's been nothing but heartache and headache. But I'm telling you, it's just a goofy, kooky kind of a year. And if there was no such thing as a discussion on global climate change, I'm sure that's all we would say, that it's just a goofy, kooky year. Nonetheless, you know, we have this global climate change discussion, and so we're, so we sort of put it into that context. I will tell you this. I don't believe for a minute. I do believe in global climate change. I do. I believe that it is, it's a real thing. It could very well be a part of a normal cycle. It could very well be influenced by what man is doing on this planet. I don't think there's anything to be afraid of there. I think we change our habits and we do things a little bit differently. But I don't think that we are, quote, apocalyptic. I don't think it's an apocalyptic, it's not an end of times or end of days scenario. And there's been a lot of panic about that, which I don't appreciate. But I do believe that it exists.
So you don't think this is some kind of a liberal agenda?
No, General, we got to get off the liberal agenda thing. Now, I will tell you one thing that bothers me is that the United States has been singled out as the country that is the most the one that should be indicted the most for this. I understand we have a larger than we have a larger carbon footprint than we should have given our population. I also understand that we've been reducing our carbon footprint significantly over a lot of other countries. Anyway, we'll be right back here, Margaret, talking about the ghost hand that was grabbing her ass.
Shut his...
All right, watch it. We'll be right back here. World famous Phil Henry Show on philhenryshow.com, 855-500-7445. Do you have the TuneIn app? With the TuneIn app, you can hear our show anywhere, live, 7 to 10 Pacific time. Get the TuneIn app. Find the Phil Henry channel. Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and online at philhenryshow.com, of course, is our video cast right now, our live video cast of the show, and we are on TuneIn. If you'd like a live listen to our radio show, if you are not listening right now by way of a radio station, maybe you're picking it up on your fillings. I don't know. Maybe you're watching the video cast, but you'd like an audio-only version. TuneIn. That's right. TuneIn is the place to go. And then tomorrow, of course, we have the podcast, which is available of our show each and every day. Nice to have you with us. 855-500-7445. Phil Henry here, Margaret Gray, along with Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard, and General Galen Shaw. We have Dr. Ron Tarner with us from Mountain Meadow Observatory in Cloverdale, Colorado. And Dr. Tarner, we've been talking here about the paranormal. This has got nothing to do with the astronomy or astrophysics. Although I have to ask you something, because I saw your name, I think it was on a special on black holes.
Yes, yes.
Tell me about that.
Well, Phil, the black hole phenomenon has been studied since the 18th century, when it was first written about by a couple of French physicists. It was actually the theory of one physicist who believed that, I forget the man's name now.
You talk about Marilyn?
Who is that?
This is General Shaw, sir.
I don't know. I don't believe I know who you are. Are you a doctor?
No, sir. I'm a United States retired U.S. general.
Oh, you're a retired U.S. general. Well, I'm a physicist, so that separates the two of us as to our area of knowledge.
All right, that's fine. It just, you know, we'll let you, you know, do what you do. It's just the general was trying to...
I was only trying to help out there.
Right, I don't need the help.
All right, fine. Let's not have an argument. We get arguments around here a lot, and I'd rather not have that, okay?
I'm not trying to give anyone an argument, Phil. I'm just telling you what I'm telling the general there, and that is that I'm a physicist, and I understand astrophysics as well as these kind of phenomena far better than a retired United States Army general. I'm sure he understands that.
No, I know, but he was just simply trying to give you the name.
Yes, he had the name of this 18th century physicist.
Excuse me, who am I speaking with now?
This is Margaret Gray.
Well, how many people am I going to be talking to tonight, Phil?
You've got me, and there's a panel of people, you know.
Yes, but who is the expert?
You.
All right. I had the general, and I had her.
This is not a her. This is Margaret Gray.
I forgive me, Margaret Gray. I know you've got two other guys there that are not anywhere near as even intelligent as Ms. Gray is.
Well, what does that mean?
I'm saying that in the relative overall hierarchy...
All right, let's everybody just stop. Everyone just stop. I'm going to be the only one that says anything here so that it gets asked and answered properly. I don't want anybody butting in. I don't want anyone giving me their opinion. I will ask the questions. Understood?
You're not talking to me, are you?
No, I'm not. I'm talking to my other four folks here. Do you guys understand?
I understand perfectly, Phil. I was simply trying...
All right. You?
Yeah.
You?
You.
You?
Who's you? Me? Margaret Gray?
Yeah, Margaret Gray?
Yes, I understand.
All right.
Okay, now, the black hole show that I was watching, and we'll get to the disembodied hand. The black hole show that I was watching was very interesting. The theory being that black holes are actually a part of the creation of matter. Was this a part of your thinking?
As a matter of fact, it is, Phil, and the The idea that black holes create matter as well as destroy matter was first theorized by myself, along with Dr. Cumberton, and then there were two young people who had written a paper at Rutgers University, and they claimed they were first, and then I remembered that I had read their paper before I wrote mine, and I admitted to it. And
all right, so in other words, you didn't come up with this.
I know, I thought I did, but I'd read their paper. So I came up with it independent. You have to understand, I didn't plagiarize. When they said to me, oh, you read someone else's paper and got these ideas, I said, so that's where it came from. You see? Oh, so what, you don't believe me? Goodbye.
Boy, you're batting 1,000 a night. You really are.
You know, Phil, if you could get a guest on the line.
You know, this guy Tarner, I knew when I saw this show, it said Dr. Ron Tarner, and I thought, well, wait a minute. I thought he'd been involved in the plagiarizing of a paper on black holes, and yes, he was. He just admitted to that. So why would they have his name at the bottom of that particular show?
Are you sure it was Ron Tarner?
Yes. Yes.
But I don't know, man.
Well, what channel was it?
I thought it was on one of the shows like Science, the Science Channel. I don't know. Anyway, I'm sorry I asked him about that because it made him hang up, but then again, maybe his theories on disembodied hands wouldn't be all that great either, given how he is likely to plagiarize material in that area. And I'm not even sure that we should even be talking about this because it sounds pretty far out to me. So...
Well, now you're saying that I'm seeing things or feeling things, right?
Bobby, I'm feeling things, yeah.
I think you're feeling things.
Well, no, I'm not feeling things. Yes, I am feeling things, and it's not my imagination.
All right, well, so in any event, we were there in Park City, and there was that haunted house, and the only reason I brought that whole thing up is because of the old neighborhood that we were in Highland Park.
Yes, and I saw that brothel, and I felt what I thought was a ghost of some kind. I was disgusted as soon as he told me it was a brothel.
When we went by that place, though, you didn't feel... What?
Dr. Turner.
Well, I don't know. He called back.
You know, we got more... Dr. Turner.
I'm going to give you a second chance. I just thought I would tell you...
No, you're not giving me any second chance. I'm giving you a second chance. You hung up on me. Now, you said you plagiarized that paper on black holes. Why was your name at the bottom of that special that I was watching the other night?
My name was at the bottom of what special?
I had a disc that was, I know what it was. It was a Science Channel disc that I got. You gave me that, didn't you?
Well, I don't remember.
Was that the Science Channel?
That was a package you got from Colorado.
Did you give me... He gave me a disc. Are you putting your name now on Science Channel shows?
I didn't put my name on anything. If my name was on something, then it most likely belonged there. I can tell you...
Did you put your name on a Science Channel documentary that I got on disc in the mail from Cloverdale, Colorado, instead of... Is that what's going on here now? You know what? You're going to get into trouble, man, because these things have copyrights. And there is proof of ownership.
I can tell you that I didn't put my name on there in any seriousness other than as a gag. Look, if Dr. Stephen Hawking could do it...
You and Hawking, man. Every time Hawking gets off a good joke, you think you got to one-up him. So now you're putting your name on black hole documentaries and sending them to me. And I'm on the air saying that these are things that you have... These are theories that you've come up with, things that have originated with you, and you plagiarized a paper. Do you know what kind of a jackass that makes me look like?
A bigger one than you do now?
Isn't that funny? How'd you like me to hang up on you?
Well, Phil, I...
All right, yeah.
You hung up on him.
Yes, I did. It's about time. It's about time I hang up on some people around here. And if he calls back, no, I don't want to talk to him, okay? You understand? And the next time you get anything in the mail from him, and you'll know it's from him because it has an observatory logo on it.
What's that look like?
A telescope.
Oh.
You know, just be very suspicious as to what is in it, all right?
Well, this was a documentary that had been sent to you by way of him from the Science Channel on black holes, and his name was on it.
His name was on the credits. Now he's telling me it was a joke. The point being here, folks, that this program that I was watching was pretty interesting, and it had a great many different new ideas as to black holes and why they exist. And one of them is that it creates matter as opposed to just destroying it. We think of black holes as being these gigantic drains, you know, these huge cosmic drains that just suck everything down, and all of that stuff is just destroyed, and God knows where it goes. You know, there's something called the singularity. I don't know what that is. Don't even tell me. But they say that that is a point in which all time, all space-time just changes. Some weird thing in the middle of a black hole. But now what they're saying is they believe that these black holes are kind of almost like recycling centers. Recycles matter and spits out new stars. Now, if that's the case, is there ever really going to be such a thing as the end of the universe?
Well, but wait just a second, because if it's a fact, now I don't understand a lot of this, but if it's a fact that this is only one universe in many.
Say, get a load of her, will you?
Yeah, where'd you learn all this stuff, Miss Gray?
I know things.
All right, well, we'll talk about it here when we come on the other side of this, when we come back. On the other side, don't give me the look, okay?
You're the one that said it.
When we come back from the commercial break on the other side of this, and we'll get on Dr. Jim Sadler to discuss with us more, who has a far more credible view of science, a far more, I would say, a credible opinion of science than Dr. Tarner, a guy who's hung up on one-upping Dr. Stephen Hawking in the annual astronomers' joke competition.
You gotta be kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. It's a sad story, and there's more to tell. We'll be back here on the, I'm not kidding you, man, world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, 855-500-7445. We'll be right back. Anyway, welcome back to world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. How are we doing there with our video cast?
Yeah, looking okay, Mr. Henry. It was kind of herky-jerky there for a minute. Yeah, it looked kind of hurdy-gurdy.
What do you mean hurdy-gurdy?
I noticed that we had a bit of a buffering problem there with our video cast. All right, we have Dr. Jim Sadler, who will be on the phone with us here just momentarily. And Dr. Sadler's there at his son. Are you with your son tonight doing a little bit of a hockey practice, Dr. Sadler?
Yeah, I'm here with... Tyler just came out with his team, and they're doing a skate around right now, Phil. I think the kids are just having a great time this year since we opened up this new rink.
Now, you're in San Diego?
Yes. We're actually in Ybor City, and this is where the rink is. Kids are having a good time.
Dr. Sadler, are you familiar with this new theory on black holes being the originating point of matter as well as a place where matter is swallowed and destroyed?
I am to a very, very limited degree because my specialty is pediatrics and allergies.
Hold on for a minute. Why do you have this man on?
Excuse me, who are you?
My name is Dr. Jim Sadler. I'm Dr. Galen Shaw.
Your name is General Galen Shaw.
Yes, I'm General Galen Shaw.
Oh, you're a general.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean I can't ask you a question. Why are you a man who's an orthopedic...
I said I'm into pediatrics.
Well, what have you got to do with black holes?
Well, wouldn't you like to know? As long as you want to be rude about it.
I don't appreciate this language.
All right, are we going to talk like adults?
I'm going to talk like an adult.
I just wanted to know what this man's qualifications were. That's all.
He's qualified insofar as he's done studies on this, and I'm not saying he's an expert, but he knows more about it than the rest of us. So, Dr. Sadler, tell me if you wouldn't mind. What this new theory is, black holes being the creators of matter as well as the destroyers of it.
Right. Well, the idea is that a black hole, as we know, Phil, is where a great deal of matter gets sucked up into a big, giant black hole. Okay? And then it goes down into the black hole and gets all you know, messed up and everything, and then get spit out, like on another side or something, I don't exactly know where, and then it becomes another, like another planet, see?
What a jackass.
Are you talking to me?
Wait. Hold on.
Well, this guy doesn't sound like he knows it. You don't sound like you know 40 cents adds up to 40 pennies. You know that?
What? I just got done telling you that...
You got done saying something I could say.
Hold on. Dr. Sadler, all right, so it churns up into this black hole and gets spit out. I thought that there was something a little bit more to it.
Well, yes, there's something more to it. What happens is that the black hole sucks down the old planet and then spins everything up and makes a new planet. Isn't that what you wanted to know about?
Yeah, I did. I just thought maybe I'd have a more scientific appraisal of it, you know?
Well, excuse me. You know, like I said, I study allergies and I'm a pediatrician.
So you're a doctor for children. You don't know anything about astrophysics?
I know more about it than you do. Did you know about it?
Dr. Sadler.
Oh, did you know about it, yes or no?
I knew about it, yeah.
You didn't know how to talk about it as good as me.
I could have explained it better than that.
Go ahead.
All right, I will. A black hole, as we all know, is like a large cosmic drain.
No.
Excuse me, but I'm going to finish. If you said I couldn't do it as good as you, I'm going to prove that I can.
All right, Phil, kick his ass. Come on.
Get us, Henry. Kick his ass.
All right. Sure you can.
Excuse me, are you two boys done?
No, I'm going to... A black hole is a large cosmic drain into which goes all the matter that is near it. It is a huge, dense a collapsed star with such dense matter that its gravity is irresistible. It is sucking stuff into the middle of it because of its the dense nature of its existence, because of this collapsed matter. And as it does...
Right, so if it...
Wait, I'm not done yet.
Jip.
Yeah.
Well, you have to let him explain, Phil.
No, I let him explain, and then he got all pissed off. So once the matter gets sucked down into the black hole, then it gets turned into...
Yeah, see, you can't do it good either.
I'll do it. I know I can do it.
No, we're not going to have a round robin here of explaining what a black hole does or can do. Thanks a lot, Dr. Sadler,
yeah.
Dr. Sadler, I appreciate it. Get back to your son's hockey practice.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me that I'm getting kicked off of your program unceremoniously because I wasn't able to tell you what a black hole was? I happen to be a doctor...
Thank you very much again, Dr. Sadler.
You know, when you hang up on people like that, Phil, it sounds like they've got they've had a seizure and they've just swallowed the phone.
No, it doesn't.
It does sound suspicious.
No, it doesn't. Sounds like I should have hung up on him 5 minutes before I did. The fact of the matter is, folks, that if I actually got a guy on this show who could explain to us what a black hole does and what it may also be capable of doing, in other words, it not only just destroys matter, maybe it actually creates matter. If I had somebody on this program who could actually explain that, it would take him a hell of a lot longer than 5 minutes to do it, and he would never survive the idiots that the present company accepted. Of course, the idiots that that would bedevil him in his explanation. Now, all of that having been said, it was all about old houses, and it was about an old brothel in Park City, and you getting felt up by a phantom hand, all right?
I didn't say felt up, Phil.
Well, you didn't say it, but you pretty much did. You said there was a hand between your legs and down your pants, and it was a ghost hand of some kind, and it was a brothel there in Park City, Utah, that was an old brothel.
And I don't appreciate being yelled at.
Well, I'm not yelling at you, but I'm trying to get this thing... once and for all put to bed, if you'll pardon the expression.
Well, she's basically saying that she had a creepy feeling.
I did have a creepy feeling.
All right, fine. You had a creepy feeling. You know.
Well, you're going to blow it off?
Yeah, at this point I'm going to blow it off. The whole reason that I even brought this up was that we were shooting at a really old neighborhood and I really liked it. I really liked the old neighborhood. I liked the old houses. It was very weird, you know, as I mentioned to Bud, and he got scared that my head hit the ceiling there, so the people back then were smaller.
Well, yeah, that's the part that's scary. What do you mean smaller?
We're not talking about hobbits, man.
Well, these little tiny people?
No, man. People were smaller because we didn't have the nutrition that we have. We didn't have the food. We didn't have the... we weren't as healthy people back in the old days. Do you realize that back in the Middle Ages, when we talk about the knights of the round table and the guys that were, you know, fighting in wars and doing battle and chopping off heads, these guys were only like 5'7"?
You kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you.
Well, that, boy, that's a real wake-up call, isn't it?
No, wait a minute. I want you to... They were only 5'7".
Maybe 5'6", 5'7", on average, yeah.
Well, didn't they have tall men?
Oh, they had tall men, yeah. There were tall men. There were men of 6 foot, 6'1". But for the most part, the people were smaller. On average, they were smaller. You go to a museum and take a look at the armor that they have. Take a look at the armor that they had made for the average person, the average knight. And you're talking about a guy that's like 5'5". So, you know, think about that one. But yeah, there were tall people. They just were a lot rarer than they are today. All right, it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. We'll be back with more on this fascinating discussion of knights, old houses, and, of course, let's not forget Margaret with the phantom hand down her pants.
You're going to burn in hell for that.
The world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, and we're on TuneIn. That's TuneIn.
Woo!
Pardon us. The TuneIn app available, you know, in the App Store. So go check it out. That's the TuneIn app, and that gives you the live Phil Henry Show each and every night. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Each and every night here till 10 o'clock at the El Pacifico, 1 a.m. on the East Coast. And it's great to be with you, as always.
You have to talk over. This is Ozzy Osbourne. Do. This was a very serious statement as to the mental.
The mental state.
Hold on, it's not the mental state. It was the mental. You call it mental midgetry, but I call it. Bad off with the kids then as opposed to today. Now you take the average paint sniffer today. Is he any worse than the kid that was listening to this in 1970? I think not.
Well, that's a good point.
Hey, hold on for a minute. Turn it off. Turn that off, will you? It's grating on the nerves. What do you mean the average paint sniffer today?
I mean the average punk kid today that huffs his mother's carpet cleaner, for instance. Is that kid any worse off than the punk that listened to this garbage? Listen to it. Listen to it now, Phil.
Well, Margaret.
No. Hold on. Listen to it. He just stares at the wall. Oh, that's real heavy. Yeah, sure. Dare the parents of that era who grew up on that, how dare they put down the kid that huffs Glade?
No, wait a minute.
No, wait a minute at all. Justin McElroy is on the line, Phil.
I'm the guy that sets up the guests around here.
Well, Mr. Henry, Mr. Hall said...
Get David. Is he there?
Yeah.
Wait a sec. Would you turn that down?
Hold on, Phil. This is my segment now. Get David on the phone. David, are you there?
Yeah, Margaret, I'm right here. Phil, listen, I approve this segment. I'm sorry I didn't tell you, but I do approve this segment. By the way, what's wrong with your video stream tonight?
I don't know. There's some kind of buffering going on there.
Yeah, it looks all jacked up, man. Anyway, I approve this segment because Margaret made a very good point. She is trying to say that her son, Jason J. Delmonico, who was...
Well, wait. I don't want to get into that right now, David.
Well, that's the whole...
No, I don't want to get into that right now.
Well, Margaret...
So anyway...
Wait a minute. Wait. Turn that off. Just what are you trying to do?
I'm doing a segment with Justin McElroy. You just heard David okay it.
Yeah, I know, but...
Gotta have to bring him on here, Mr. Henry. That's what David said.
Oh, get out of here with what David said. I know that there's something up here. I know that there is something that has happened, or if you will, something that's going to happen or something that might have happened. And we're going to get on Justin McElroy, and you go ahead and you interview him. But I know that there is more to this than meets the eye, Margaret. Thank you very much.
I'll do it if you don't mind. Justin McElroy joins us. Justin is a 17-year-old high school senior at L.A. Canyon High School. And Justin, I understand that you're taking, that you're drawing yourself a bath this evening.
Oh, yes, ma'am, I am.
And why is that?
Well, it's just been kind of a tough day, and we had cross-country practice today, and just got done doing about 15 miles with Coach Rickard, so it's pretty kind of sore.
I certainly understand that.
Can I just jump in for a minute?
Oh, God, what now?
Everybody takes a bath on this show when they're on the air as a guest. Justin, that's Phil Henry. How are you?
I'm fine, sir, but she told me it was okay to do, so...
Yeah, it's fine. I just was curious, you know, why, and Margaret found out you were at cross-country practice, huh?
Do you mind?
Yes, sir.
Justin, I know that members of your generation have involved themselves in their own kinds of mood enhancements. Many of your young people today have indulged in dangerous drugs. I know this. But you just heard me playing a song by Black Sabbath called Iron Man, which sounds very, very mentally deficient. It sounds as if the individual singing it, in this case, of course, we're talking about Ozzy Osbourne. It sounds like he himself has been drinking gasoline or inhaling the fumes from the exhaust pipe of a truck that needs a ring job. Would you not agree?
Yes, ma'am, I do agree. Hold on for a minute. Mom, can you get the other kind of soap? Yeah, this stuff's rough on my skin. Thank you. Yeah, as you listen to this music, Miss Gray, this is a part of a paper that I did for my senior class social sciences. And if this is what the teenage kids done did listen to back way, way, way back, then there's no exhaust that I could possibly sniff that would make my mind any worse than a kid whose head listened to this.
I have to totally agree with that statement.
All right, I got to jump in here, Margaret, and I'm sure that you won't mind. Can we turn that down?
I said I was interviewing this young man.
Can I ask a question?
Turn it off. Turn it off, will you? Turn the filth off, God Almighty. What?
This has something to do with your son, Jason J. Delmonico, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Well, can I just say, Mr. Henry, I'm the teenager here, and my statement should be final on this. If I say that the music that we listen to today, which I personally like hip-hop, I like Mac Miller, I like Kendrick Lamar, and also Volbeat, and also Five Finger Death Punch, and also Ben Sevenfold, what I like, and that music I think is way superior to... See, this is terrifying. When I listen to that, I think of a kid sniffing... You know, sniffing underwear, just doing anything he can to get high. Today, the drugs are very refined. And,
oh, yeah, they're really refined, man. Would you turn that down, please?
Well, Phil, you think kids are still huffing Glade? They're not doing that. Not in near the record numbers that they were.
All right, thank you very much. God.
Well, I'm taking a bath right now, if it's all the same to you.
No, I understand that, but you agreed to be on the show.
Let me ask you a question, Justin. My son, Jason J. Delmonico, was apparently, allegedly seen huffing some kind of a cleaner. I believe it was some sort of a gasoline-based solvent today at school. He was brought to the principal's office. I, along with other parents, responded. Do you think what my son did is worse or nowhere near as bad as what kids did listening to this film?
Yeah, that's a really good point, Ms. Gray. I would have to say that as bad as what your kid did, you know, and I don't, at this point, I'd have to see a chemical analysis of the solvent that he sniffled.
What do you mean, sniffled?
I mean, that's the past tense of sniffed it. I would say No, it's not. No, it's not.
Thank you very much, Justin McElroy.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hello? Hello? Hear that off, will ya?
There. My case is made. Thank you very much. And to Don Memerick, who is the principal there at Brady and Suffolk, my son, and you just heard a high school senior say it, my son was engaged in nothing anywhere near as dangerous as what kids engaged in when they listened to this mindless noise.
Yeah. All right, all right. And your point is what?
And my point is...
Look, Phil, I don't mean to... Look, I'm on your side, Phil, but I think she's made the point. I don't mean to beat a dead horse, but how stupid can you be?
Yeah. What are you, dumb or something?
What do you mean, how stupid can I be? So you're telling me she made the point that anybody listening to Black Sabbath has got to have more mind rot than any kid listening to any music today?
I think it goes without reason. You can't, as an adult... and now the boomy, I don't even know what they're called. What are they called?
Baby boomers, for God's sake.
The baby boomers are grandparents. So now you have to say that your grandchildren are far more mentally evolved than you when you listen to this mind rot. Right there.
I gotta tell you, man.
You gotta tell me what? I mean, the truth hurts, you know.
The truth does hurt, Phil.
Yeah, the truth hurts, but let's remember what is at the very gist of this, ladies and gentlemen. Margaret's son, Jason J. Delmonico.
Excuse me, I'll do it. I'll say it. You're talking about my son.
You're right, but it's my show. I heard what you said. I'm not going to misstate it. Your son was seen by an administrator at the school huffing some kind of a cleanser.
That's right, and the cleanser, the chemical analysis of, has not yet been completed.
So? The kid's involved in something that was going to injure his brain, I think it probably could be stated right now. Wouldn't you agree with that?
No, I would not. I'd like to know. I heard that it was a fairly industrial kind of a solvent, and so therefore, yes, would be injurious, but I want the chemical analysis to be done first.
What do you think this is, Margaret, a murder scene or something? I mean, all it is a kid who's been caught doing something that if it isn't stopped, and if you don't get that kid in for some kind of counseling... It could get worse. Didn't you say that your husband, Frank, already thinks that Jason J. Delmonico is gay? Well, there's nothing wrong with that. But the kid's going to have issues with that, dealing with his peers and growing up and everything else. So wouldn't you want to at least get the kid into some kind of a counseling rather than saying, oh, well, what my son did is nowhere near as bad as the kids that listen to the mind rot, what is Black Sabbath? That doesn't sound that bad.
Wait a second. That's not all there is to it, Phil. There's more. There's... Yeah, huh?
No, wait. All I heard, and I think my audience will attest... There, right there. That's nothing.
No, that's not nothing. Yeah, there's more. Then there's...
Wait a minute. Give me that knob.
Give you that knob. You heard him, ladies and gentlemen. He wants me... To take his knob and then give it back? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying... This knob!
You know what you are? You're a snob, not a knob. You can keep your knob, Phil. You're a snob.
All right, we're going to be right back on the Phil Henry Show before I flip my lid. World famous Phil Henry Show. And PhilHenryShow.com. Margaret Gray. Paranoid.
Thank you very much, Phil.
Finished with my woman, 'cause she couldn't help me with my mind. People think I'm insane because I'm frowning all the time. Whee!
Well, that's bad.
Oh, shut up. Shut.
All day long. All day long I think of things, but nothing seems to satisfy. Think I'll lose my mind if I don't find something to pacify. Can you help me occupy my brain?
Yeah.
God, that's lousy.
Wait, hold on. on for a minute. Hold on. Who told you to comment that way?
You're not kidding?
Am I not kidding about what?
You gotta be kidding with the way you're singing that. You gotta be putting this on.
Margaret, we naturally assumed this was all in jest.
Well, you people really... That song could possibly use a better interpretation, but I can assure you that I am rendering it with every due effort. You know I sang backup for Blue Oyster Priest.
Yep, you mean Black Oyster, Blue Oyster Cult.
Judas Cult.
Right.
Black Judas Oyster. I sang back up for Judas Oyster. Not Judas Oyster, but...
Judas Priest, you sang.
That's it, yes. Joke and I will sigh, and you will laugh, and I will cry. Happiness I cannot feel, and love to me is so unreal.
God, that sucks.
You know what? Never mind. Never mind.
All right, Margaret.
Never mind.
Where are you going?
Three guesses.
Bobby got to go to the bathroom.
Oh, is that what I'm going to do? Bobby got to go to the bathroom.
You know, Margaret, it's one thing for us to give you a bit of a hard time. It's another thing for you entirely to start crying. We're having some technical difficulty, by the way, folks, with our video cast tonight. I don't know why, but we do have a bit of a herky-jerky feed. I'm sure that it will be corrected in due time. I have no idea why, but there you go. Maybe we've got, maybe we're slow. I don't know what it is.
I'll say you're slow.
I mean, what I'm saying is maybe our computer is loaded with too much data. Who the heck knows? Anyway, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Margaret, where are you?
I'm in the bathroom if it's all the same to you. Woo! What a perv.
I'm not perving out, man. I just wanted to know. All right. Welcome back to the program. Interesting time I spent the last few days on the television show. There. Mark Maron is a terrific guy. This is a guy who was a stand-up comic and was working as a stand-up comic when he eventually got a job with Air America. Now, you remember Air America, guys, right?
Well, Air America was the liberal, sort of a liberal answer to the to Rush Limbaugh, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess you could say. And he got a job working at Air America. And it was the most fascinating thing to hear Mark and other interested parties talking about this over the course of lunch. That we were, you know, having on the different days and listening to. I'm not going to get into any personalities or any specifics, but it's what they were describing as having happened at Air America is no different than really what has happened at a lot of other companies, and it's sort of the increasingly amateur handling of these companies that has done them in. Air America being just one. Of many, but so he was there. He was doing a morning show there.
I want to come in for this. You're talking about Mark Maron.
Yes.
All right. I want to, because I used to listen to him on the mornings there on Air America. I listened to him. I listened to Randy Rhodes, who I love.
Yeah.
I listened to Tom Hartman, who I love. Now I did listen to Al Franken. He was a train wreck. And Jeanine Ganambolo, I forget her name.
Garofalo, Margaret, you're the
Yes, Garofalo. I love all of their points of view, but you're talking about broadcasting.
Yes.
Yeah, Jeanine Garofalo was a train wreck, too. But the rest of them I thought were very good. Very, very good. And I think that what happened to Air America was simply this, Phil. The mental disease that is the Tea Party, I think, is so frightening. It is so unpredictable, and it is something that is so wantonly dangerous. I don't think anyone wants to be on the radio in opposition to that for very long.
Boy, I'll tell you, that is some gutsy talk right there.
Thank you.
And also mentally ill, because I don't think that's the case.
Well, what is that supposed to mean?
What it's supposed to mean is the following thing. I don't think that you can attribute to any company its failure because they're afraid of the... They may be afraid of them as great broadcasters, but afraid of their mental state... I don't think so.
Well, I do. I think to go on the air at Air America was to go to work every day scared to death that some nut in a baseball cap with a funny sign that spells cat with a K is going to... Well, you know what I mean.
No, I don't. And also, you know, the Tea Party wasn't around when Air America was going through its, if you will, heyday. And by heyday, I mean perhaps its strongest time was somewhere in the mid-2000s, early to mid-2000s, when there was a little bit of bread behind them and some effort at programming. But, you know, again, I'm not putting Air America down any more than I would any other company. I think it's very, very classic of the radio business to respond to what was, at that time, a looming crisis. And the looming crisis wasn't Air America versus conservatives. The looming crisis wasn't satellite radio is going to take over everything. The looming crisis was that radio itself, and particularly talk radio, was now on its way straight down the crapper, and people were beginning to discover the podcast and portable audio entertainment and on-demand listening and things like that. That was the looming crisis, and there wasn't anybody in radio that recognized it. They just kept on this ridiculous infighting until finally there's really nothing left. And I don't attribute that to anybody other than just the dummies that run the thing, whether they're liberal or conservative.
Well, what were the guys saying at lunch?
Well, the guys at lunch were just talking. I'm not going to get into specifics, but they were talking about what went right and what went wrong in their company. But I'm just saying that it was a smaller version, or if you will, a smaller view of what was happening industry-wide in our business. And so here we are. We are here in the day and the age of the entrepreneur. All right.
Well, for instance, Phil, you get back on the radio, and the first thing you talk about is whether a kid is huffing Glade, listening to Black Sabbath and Old Houses, and you haven't once touched on the major issues of the day.
I could care less about the major issues of the day. How many times am I going to tell you people this?
Well, Phil...
No, how many times I could care less about the major... The major issue of the day is whatever we decide it is here on a Phil Henry show, or whatever the folks out there in Radio Land decide it is. The major issue of the day... The major issue of the day, folks, is whatever it is you think it is. Whatever it is I think it is, and whatever it is we ultimately decide it is. And then we, you know, undecide it. Phil Henry show will be right back.
Oh, Oh, there it is. Iron Man, yeah.
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry show. All right, welcome back. World famous Phil Henry show. We're just having a technical issue again. If you are seeing, and right now I don't see the problem. If you're seeing a problem online, folks, we apologize if you're getting any kind of a problem with your video cast. We obviously are having an issue with the... We're having an issue, I think, with the heat, to be honest with you, and I think it is causing our video stream, our computer, to be delivering a choppy stream this evening, as far as I know. Do you know that we had 82 degrees out here on the beach today? 82 degrees at the beach is pretty damn warm. I can't even tell you what the weather was in Los Angeles. I'm wondering if we had warm weather in L.A. to the tune of, like, 90s or something. I don't know. But... what I'm trying to do right now is just...
Are you doing that with your feet?
Yeah.
Let me get under there and do it myself. Just Bud... Thank you.
Bud has the fan, and he's trying to put the fan... yeah, he's putting the fan on our video cast, on our TriCaster. It's nuts. All right, 855-500-7445. We had, 82 degrees in the... 82 degrees today... Here at the beach, that is pretty damn warm. And I have no idea, other than to say that we've had 80-degree weather here in California before. I remember 80-degree weather here in Los Angeles back 30 years ago or more. So it was not anything that I would say is unusual. I can remember having a really bad cold, and at the same time, laying outside with this really bad cold and trying to heat it out of my lungs because the weather was so warm. So it's not an unusual thing here in California to have hot weather in the 80s. But today, this is the first time that since I've lived at the ocean. And when I say at the ocean, I live probably about two blocks from the ocean, but we're, you know, a beachside community here north of the city, that I've ever felt weather this warm. But then I'm not an experienced beach dweller. I come mostly from the inland. I come from the mountains, from the foothills around Los Angeles. I don't come from the ocean, but I don't remember it ever being this warm.
Well, you said you were sweating today inside your house.
I was, yeah. And you know what? I don't have air conditioning. And the reason I don't have air conditioning is you don't need it. 9 times out of 10. The only time we ever need anything cooled off around here is here in the studio. It can get pretty damn warm, in the summer months because of all the equipment. And we've got a lot of equipment in here, man. We've got these lights. We've got two huge big screen TVs. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 computers. We have a broadcast console. We have, a switcher for the video cast. We've got a printer. We've got cameras. We've got an ISDN unit. We have, let's see, what else? That's about it, you know, and my big mouth, which probably accounts for, a fair number of degrees and temperature as well. So put it all together, and what have you got? We got one damn hot room in here. And and every year I say the same thing.
Well, you should stop talking about it and get it done.
Yeah, Phil, if you're going to keep on, why don't I get air conditioning? Why, you know?
Well, I don't want air conditioning. For one thing, it's going to be too noisy in this room. For another thing, you only need it 3 months or 2 months out of the year. Better to just have a fan. And for another thing, I'm cheap. And for another thing, no thank you. But today I would say is the very first time we've had an actual issue with the, you know, with our equipment heating up to the point where it's actually affecting its performance. So again, my apologies to our BSPs. And we're going to get that worked out as quickly as we can. It just so happens to be. Today, another thing was happening, and I don't know whether this is heat-related. I have no idea where SoundCloud is located. But SoundCloud is a company that hosts all kinds of media. And you're probably familiar with SoundCloud if you listen to any podcasts or watch, for instance, any podcasts that are hosted by SoundCloud. You'll generally see their logo, or you'll see something close to that. For instance, our Bobby Dooley podcast, we use SoundCloud as the hosting platform. SoundCloud today was absolutely crashed, man. I mean, it was useless. SoundCloud was totally useless today. We were not able to use it at all. And as a result, at this particular point, I don't know whether or not the Bobby Dooley podcast is up or not. Do you know?
I never looked at it. I could double check on it, though.
Well, you do that, man, okay?
Well, you don't have to do it right now, bud, because you're getting in my way.
Do it when we go to the break. So we were not able to, I wasn't able to see whether or not we even got the Bobby Dooley thing going, you know?
Well, that's all well and good, Phil, but these technical problems you're having take us away from the pure genius and brilliance that is you.
Oh, well, thank you very much, General. Although, if I got to keep looking at this crap can video cast one more second, man, I just may put a shoe right through that thing. All right, 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. Now, you know, on the 26th, we're going to be at the San Francisco Sketch Fest, and that is in where?
What?
Where's the San Francisco Sketch Fest?
I don't know.
You put me on, man. What time do you think it's in?
Oh, San Francisco.
Thank you.
Man, you got to be kidding.
I didn't know. I thought he meant... What theater?
At the Eureka Theater. That's where we're going to be on the 26th of January in the year of our Lord 2014. Just in a couple of weeks, we'll be there at the San Francisco Sketch Fest at the Eureka Theater. So if you've, if you got the weekend free, man, and you're somewhere in the Bay Area, or you want to drive up from L.A., or wherever you are, come on out to see us at the Eureka Theater, San Francisco, the 26th of January, just in a couple of weeks, for the World of Phil Hendry. And as I said, we'll be there. Live and direct and beautiful. So check it out whenever you can. I was actually just going to try and see if we can find it. We have a link on our homepage, and if you hit that link, you'll be, you'll be right there. See, what else is happening here, man? A ban on same-sex marriage is, the federal judge said Oklahoma's ban on same-sex marriage is unconstitutional. The Egyptian referendum, second day of voting on a new constitution, an associate of Justin Bieber allegedly damages phone while in custody. A man arrested on suspicion of felony drug possessions at the home of singer Justin Bieber was also being held on suspicion of felony vandalism after allegedly damaging a phone at the sheriff's station, an official said. Oh, no.
Sound like somebody just got high on something, man, and just beating his head into something.
I don't know. Let's take a look at this. Associate of Justin Bieber. See, this is just some guy that Justin Bieber knows, man. You're going to hang it up on him? A man arrested on suspicion of felony drug possession at the home of singer Justin Bieber was also held on suspicion of felony vandalism after allegedly damaging a phone at the sheriff's station. He was additionally charged with vandalism while still in lockup. He damaged a phone on the wall. Well, how about that?
Yeah, that's understandable.
Not a lot of times they'll do that.
What do you mean it's understandable?
Only if you're a thug is it understandable.
Well,
what are you talking about, bud?
Well, you get angry.
Well, if you get angry while in custody, then you only have yourself to blame, damaging personal property.
Well, it's not. It's public property, General, is what it is.
Well, it's public property. You're beating your head into a phone. Is that what you're saying?
A lot of times you will.
How many times have you been arrested?
Well, nothing.
Nothing? And have you ever beaten your head into a phone?
I'll bet you have. I'll bet you've beaten that noggin of yours in. No wonder you've got a plate in it.
I got a plate in it because I put my head through a tree.
Yeah, well. All right, so Xavier Dominique Smith was taken into custody at Bieber's home Tuesday morning on suspicion of felony drug possession after detectives. Oh, we just lost our video cast again. After detectives. Now, this is a very interesting sidelight to the story here, because who knows why Justin Bieber has people at his house, and if indeed these people are there because they should be there, or are they there because, you know, Bieber says it's cool for them to be there, or what? But this guy was taken into custody to Bieber's home Tuesday morning on suspicion of felony drug possession after detectives searching the singer's Calabasas mansion for evidence in an alleged egg-tossing crime. What? Found drugs. Bieber was not connected to the drugs other than the gentleman was staying at his residence. Lieutenant Dave Thompson originally stated that cocaine was found in plain view of the deputies, but sheriff's officials said the drugs needed to be tested before they could be officially identified. The arrest came as a dozen L.A. County sheriff's investigators served a felony search warrant at the home looking for evidence that might connect the 19-year-old singer to the egging.
Oh, my God, they were throwing eggs. That is, I'm very surprised because that is a vandalism charge.
Well, now, wait just a minute. He was throwing eggs?
Yes.
Yeah, they egged somebody.
Okay, so they were going down someone's, what was this, a Halloween prank or something? This doesn't sound, this is the first time I've ever heard of this making national news, somebody egging someone's house. You know?
You've never heard of egging?
No, I've heard of egging before. I've heard of people getting their house egged. I never heard of it becoming a national news story relative to a celebrity. You know? Next thing you know, they're going to be busting somebody for smearing soap suds on someone's window or TPing their house. I mean, that's... So anyway, Bieber's next-door neighbor...
Well, Phil...
Hold on, General. Bieber's next-door neighbor had called detectives last Thursday to report his house had sustained $20,000 in damage from the incident. The amount could make it a felony vandalism. $20,000. Get a load of that. Man, when they egg your house in these rich neighborhoods, it's a serious...
Well, you know, it's bound to be a serious egging.
What do you mean a serious egging?
If it's going to be an egging in a neighborhood like that...
What does that mean, though, man? Why do I have to cause $20,000 in damages to someone's home? Does that mean, in other words, if I don't, then it just isn't an egging that is worthy of mention in a neighborhood like that? How do you, $20,000 must have been busting out a window that was worth $20,000. Detectives served the search warrant on Bieber's home in the 25,000 block of Prado del Grandioso at 8 a.m. Tuesday looking for a video surveillance or other related evidence in the egging case. The incident was initially reported as a misdemeanor, but the estimate cost and damage is well above the $400 needed to qualify as a felony. The felony comes from the dollar amount of the damage. So, in other words, there was an egging. The cops went out there. They said, okay, thanks a lot. It's a misdemeanor. Now comes the appraisal from the homeowner, and it's a $20,000 egging. The felony comes from the dollar amount. This resident sustained a great amount of damage that easily achieved the amount. I get that the eggs don't seem that significant, but it does rise to the level of a felony. Bieber is a suspect in the egging, although he is not in the drug case.
Well, this is going to be one of those late-night jokes that I...
All right, well, we'll find out. World famous Phil Hendry. So there you go, folks. When we get it, you get it. And we just got that, and you can have that. Because we got it, and you take it. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Coming back right after these messages. Famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. If you're listening on iTunes, or excuse me, on TuneIn tonight, that's a good idea. The video cast has been shut down tonight because we've had technical issues relative to that. We'll find out what that's all about and have it up and ready for you tomorrow, or know the reason why. In the meantime, please do check us out on TuneIn so you can at least get the live, broadcast. And, of course, our podcast of the radio show will be available tomorrow as well on our website, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. So if it ain't one thing, man, it is damn sure something else each and every bloody night. I'll tell you that. Because as I was mentioning to you, just sitting around and talking to people, as I had been over the course of the last 3 days while we were working on Mark Maron's TV show, I'm talking to a lot of guys that have been in or are currently in radio. Man, it is a real transitional period. But if there's one thing that is definitely changed, it's the fact that we are all now working for ourselves. I work for myself. So when I have a technical issue here relative to the radio show, I am not only doing the radio show, I'm also getting that damn thing fixed. So I'm calling the plumber, even though I'm also...
on the toilet.
On the toilet, yeah. Well...
that's a great, wonderful comparison. Oh, my God.
All right. Take it easy. Okay. What's going on with Chris Christie, man? Anybody want to know about that?
No.
Well, let's figure it out anyway. Chris Christie, scrambling to regain his political footing, delivered a high-stakes State of the State address on Tuesday that mixed arm's-length expressions of contrition, a defiant assertism that his troubles are no excuse for inaction, and a jointly timed demand to... But there was little sign that his administration's widening scandal over lane closings at the George Washington Bridge was abating. Let me tell you something. This thing is only staying alive because there's guys that write columns for newspapers that need it to. That is it. I'm telling you.
No, Phil. No, no, no. You've read Facebook. You know what it's all about. All right? And the people over there just love stuff like this.
Well, everybody everywhere... You know, I think social media is a lot like talk radio or any other medium where there's a lot of active participants. The rank and file, they're just going on about the business of their lives. But there's a handful of people that live and die with this kind of crap, and they're screaming and yelling so loud that they make it seem like it's a huge issue. I bet you 99% of the American people don't know what the Chris Christie thing's about and don't care. Somebody want to tell me that's really important? Well, I'll tell you this much. When the Enron thing happened at the turn of the century, when the very first signs of a corporate mis and malfeasance was afoot in this country relative to the burgeoning communications revolution of this country, Enron, WorldCom, and the enormous amounts of money that were being made by these companies and the resultant greed, you know, that caused a lot of these companies, the principals of these companies, to start to move this money around for their own personal use. You know, when that thing first went down, I was sitting there saying, well, who gives a crap, you know? I was talking to people and saying, you know. And it turned out to be a pretty big thing because obviously it begins to affect stock price. And it just so happened that was the beginning of the dot-com bubble burst. But you know what? The economy survived that. What the economy didn't survive was the banking stuff. And that, I'm here to tell you that, nobody underestimated that, you know.
Well, the banking, you're talking about a bank.
Yes, a bank. You know what a bank is.
Yes, that's where you keep money?
Yes, it's where you keep money.
You're talking about the bank.
The banking thing.
I thought you were talking about Enron.
The banking scandal. So when the banking scandal went down, yeah, that was very serious. And, of course, the economy felt it. Now we have this guy, Christie, and I'm supposed to believe that this whole bridge closing thing means that this guy is a bad, I don't know, man. Yeah, I just don't know.
What about that guy that was the governor? Blagojevich.
Blagojevich?
You know the guy that ran Illinois?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Rudy Blagojevich. I forget who is, however you pronounce that.
Yeah, that was a sign of a guy whose decisions were bad, and the people that he might hire were bad, you know.
I don't think you got the same thing here. I just don't, you know, and if it is, then by God, it's, you know, it's, then maybe I'm just not reading these things right. I don't know. Harvey Wireman joining us from San Marino. Where are you, Harvey? It sounds like you once again are on some kind of a shopping outing with the family.
Well, you know, I'm back with my daughter and her son-in-law, my son-in-law and her daughter. My granddaughter, my daughter, and my son-in-law, her husband, that's what it is. And they're over at the Pottery Barn once again, so I don't...
So, you know this guy, Chris Christie, in New Jersey, right?
I know that fat tub of crap. What about him?
Well, what do you call him that for?
Because that's what he is. I got no... Let me tell you something, my friend. I've got no pity for a guy that is that visible, making himself even more visible. And this bridge thing with the George White, let me tell you what, if you've got guys that are closing down the bridge to the, and they're trying to make a, and you know, everything like that, friend, you've got problems. Now, Christie is just the first in a long line of these guys. The other guy was the guy with the pictures of his penis. Who was that guy?
Anthony Weiner.
Yeah,
but what has he got to do with Christie?
What do you mean? What it's another one of these scandals, you know.
Well, the other is a much more morally degenerate act, I think. Chris Christie's problem here, Harvey, is more the decisions that he makes.
Yeah, look, I know all about the decisions that a tub of guts like this is going to make. That's going to affect the lives of hundreds and hundreds of people. And a guy that waddles around, the guy that throws his weight around like a Chris Christie and waddles when he does it is...
What do we got here, man? Is this going to be like a whole interview segment of you doing fat jokes?
Say that again?
Are we going to do a whole interview segment of you doing fat jokes?
What do you mean fat jokes?
What are you talking about, a guy that throws his weight around and waddles while he does it?
I'm talking about this guy, Chris. Did you want me to talk about this guy, Christie, or not?
Yes, but it sounds like you're just taking the opportunity to do fat jokes.
I'm not doing any fat jokes. I'm telling you the way it is with a guy like this, who's the governor of the state of New Jersey, which is a pretty big state, and this guy is tossing his weight around and rolling his weight around, and when a guy that size tosses his weight around, people die. So if...
All right, you know what?
Well, don't hang up on him.
I'm going to listen to him, but I got to take a break. Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Don't tell me he's not doing fat jokes, because yes, he is. I'm listening to him do the fat jokes, all right?
Well, I said that he wasn't going to do none.
Well, he's doing them. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. More on the whole Chris Christie debacle. Our video cast down for tonight. We'll be back tomorrow night. Stick around. Be right back. Is Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Every night till 10 o'clock from the El Pacifico, 1 a.m. on the East Coast. Nice to be with you. This is the radio show that many have said you need to listen to more than once to understand. I don't think you can ever really understand this show. You can listen to it for years. You can listen to it for decades. You can listen to it for a lifetime. You'll never, ever truly understand it because I don't. And I are the one what do it. Now, I want to also mention, we had an offer from someone on Facebook, and anytime you get an offer from somebody on Facebook, man, you better, well, do one of two things. Either take it or run. Take it or run, or take it and run.
That's what she said.
Would you ask him not to do that, please?
Bud, come on.
What?
You do it again, Bud. I reach over there and I...
You're not going to reach over anywhere, Margaret, okay?
I am sick and tired. That's what she said. What a jackball. It's not even funny anymore.
You know something, Bud? You do sound like a jive ball.
All right, I'll handle it. It's funny to me, Bud, but...
Yeah, I think it's funny.
But, you know...
Oh, it's funny to you.
Yeah, it is. But don't do it because it interrupts the flow of what it is that I'm trying to do. And what I'm trying to do is just keep on flowing, man. You know, I'm just trying to keep the flow going, man. You know.
Yeah, you want to stay liquid.
Yes, that's a very good point. If you're liquid, then
yeah. So.
What do you mean liquid?
It's not a financial thing, General. I want to just maintain the groove, baby. So we had a guy offer to listen to the... I forget your name, sir, if you're listening to the show right now. He offered to listen to the archives of the Phil Hendry Show website. Now, as you probably know, if you listen to the show for any length of time, we have the largest archive, the largest repository of any single radio show. Is that Jessica Simpson on that dog food commercial?
Yeah, who's asking?
I am.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's...
It's not a dog food commercial, you jackball. It's for human beings to take off weight.
It's for human beings to take off. All right. I'm sorry. I apologize, Ms. Simpson, if you're listening, which, of course, yeah, sure. I thought it was a commercial for dog food.
Because she's playing with a dog, but it's a diet commercial. Oh, baby.
Yeah, you get people upset, man.
I didn't know. Look, first of all, I'm the wrong guy to ask about any of this stuff because women that, if you're telling me that she's fat, see, women that carry extra weight, as anybody knows that's listened to the show for any length of time, as any male member of our audience is probably of a like mind, chicks that carry a little extra weight on their asses especially are okay by me.
Yeah.
Woo!
Now.
You know, you really, and you know what's going to happen? More women are going to listen to you, and they're going to start packing the weight on until they look like big fat tubs of guts, and then they'll be left in the breeze as you go riding off with the skinny model.
What are you talking about? All I'm saying is women have been getting it left and right on how fat they are, and somebody ought to just back off a little bit. That's all. I'm not saying that women ought to turn into tubs of guts. I didn't say that. But this whole thing about you got to look like you're a Biafran, forget it. All right, so as I said, this one chap said, well, now you have the largest archive of radio shows in the history of mortal man, Phil. I've heard you say that. I said, yeah. He said, I'd like to offer to listen to that because we had said, how long would it take you to listen to every single show in our archive end to end if you didn't have to stop down to eat? In other words, if you didn't have to take a break. So you could listen to every single show without taking a break. How long would that take, right? And I don't know. We put it at somewhere in the neighborhood of several months, right, Bud?
Well, I've said about 7 months.
Yeah, I've said about like 7 or 8 months.
I think it would take longer because I think we got more than 5,000 hours. We must because I just saw a master sheet of every show that we have. If you multiply that by three, there's far more than 5,000 hours. You nuts. But the point is if there's 5,000 hours... I said, but you understand you can't sleep, you can't eat, you can't think, you got to listen. And then the guy said, well, what difference does it make? As long as I'm running the shows end to end, back to back, I could be napping, I could be eating, I could go out and take a ride on my bike, I could take my wife and kids to the Alps. It wouldn't matter so long as I'm running the shows. And I said, you got me there. And he said, okay, I'll take the challenge. And I said, well, I didn't lay one down. And he said, well, how about it now? And I said, no, not that you've explained it that way, no. And he said, okay, I understand that. I said, thank you. And he said, you're welcome. Goodbye, goodbye.
What?
That's exactly what happened. Why would a guy have to stay awake for it? All you got to do is just run him back to back.
Well, now, wait a minute, Mr. Henry. That's the most acid. If you're challenging someone to listen to the programs, then that's what they're going to do, listen to the programs. Isn't that right?
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. But what am I going to do, test them? Okay, on the 12th day of July, I mean, that's ridiculous. The fact is, and the point of the whole exercise would be, how long would it take to air all of those shows back to back? It's not how long would it take to listen to them, but the question is, how long would it take for all of those shows to air back to back? And that's just a matter of math. So I don't think we have to have anybody listen to them. And I also said to him, you understand that I'd have to have you would have to sign a waiver. You would have to ultimately hold the Phil Hendry Show and my companies completely blameless if you died of starvation, malnutrition, if you had a heart attack or a seizure, if your blood sugar dropped to a dangerous low level, if you had an insulin shock. Any of these things, it wouldn't be my fault at all, nor would I be liable in paying for the medical. And he said, sure, I'm just a father with three kids. Why would I want you to pay for anything? And I said, you got me there. And we shook hands on that. It was a big misunderstanding.
You know, you laugh at things like that, Phil, but you could be in trouble.
Well, why do you? I'm not going to have the guy, hold me responsible. I want to be indemnified.
But
I don't want to be held responsible for it.
Well, the entire exercise to me sounds hideous, and that's why you got the wireman. He can give you a little more information.
Well, we got Wireman on the line. He was going to talk about Chris Christie. We will bring back Harvey Wireman. We're also going to talk a little bit more politically about, talk with Harvey a little more about the political ins and outs of these days. So, Harvey, did you hear that whole thing I just said as far as the guy with the back-to-back shows?
Yeah, I listened to that. Let me explain something to you. You know, I'm in the middle of a mall right now, and I'm sitting on the bench, and I'm waiting for my daughter and my son-in-law to come out of the Pottery Barn after they purchased some garbage. Now, I could sue you for making me sit and wait, thinking I was going to talk about Chris Christie, and instead now I'm going to talk about whether you are going to make a listener of yours epileptic or elliptical. What is the disease?
Epilepsy.
Epileptic. Because you are the kind of a guy that would make him listen to your garbage can show end to end.
Okay, I get your point. So you want to sue me for what?
I'd sue you for keeping me hanging on the phone here through that entire ridiculous asinine break, not knowing I was going to come back and talk about that. I thought I was going to talk about
Chris Christie.
Right. So that's one kind of a lawsuit. Now, the other kind of a, you asked me, would this guy have a case if he listened to your show back to back and died of boredom? Yes, he would have. No, he would not have a case there because he should have known going in. However, if he knew that he would.
All right. Thanks a lot, Harvey.
Oh, my. You hung up on him again.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Well, do you want me to call him back on the cell phone?
You can call him back on the cell phone and tell him that he can go and have another ice cream cone and wait for his daughter because we won't bother him again.
Yeah, you look like you're going to cry and everything.
I'm not going to cry.
Well, then why do you have that look, that little hound dog look on your face?
What hound dog look?
You look like you're all bugged because he didn't want to talk about all of the grooviness of your archives.
Yeah, you got a point.
All right, I'm sorry, Harvey, that I left your ass sitting there thinking you were going to talk about Chris Christie and we came back with the archives. Anyway, sir, the challenge, albeit a fair one, I don't think I would have to put you through that, and therefore will not. All we have to do is just take all the shows and run them back to back. Or here's a great idea. How long are the shows? 3 hours. How many shows? Multiply it by that. Boom. And that's how many hours. 3 times 5,000, 15,000 hours, 24 hours in a day. You do the math.
No, you do it.
You know, you do it because I'm talking on the radio right now. All right, we'll be back with more of this exciting and sexy talk, man. How many hours would it take? Vigilantes pose public relations problems for Mecca. What else is going on here, man, that's of any interest whatsoever? No bluster as Christie moves from scam. Okay, so we already talked about that. World Bank sees global economy picking up. There's good news. I also heard something about how China's going to have double-digit growth next year. What do you think of that?
What's that mean?
Good point. World-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And, of course, the number is 855-500-7445. We're just getting back to work here, folks, you know, on the radio. Just don't mind me, okay? And it's been 3 days there doing one kind of a job. Now we're back doing this kind of job. Hey, we're just, you know, just working for a living. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Hey, welcome back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. There's our good buddy. That's Jeanette Napolitano. Man, she's got the voice, huh?
Oh, I love her. She's
a great woman, a great, very generous lady, and she's got her horses, and she's living out in the desert. Can you imagine what the desert's like today?
Yeah, probably 100 degrees or something.
No, I saw that Death Valley was 64.
Death Valley was 64.
Yes.
Death Valley was 64 what?
Degrees, I guess.
Well, what did you think I was talking about? It's turned 64?
Oh, I didn't. Death Valley's 64 degrees.
Yeah. When was it 64?
I don't know. It might be 64 now.
Well, what was the temperature today? That's...
Yeah, well, was it 64?
I'm assuming it was 64 today as well.
Okay, so in Death Valley, it was 64 all day long. I doubt it.
I don't know, Phil. You asked what it was in Death Valley.
I would just be curious to know what the temperature was in Death Valley, because if it's 82 here, it might have been one hell of a scorcher out there. In fact, hold on for a minute, folks, because I have my trusty weather app, and I always look at this, and I've got a few cities that are plugged in. Right now, where we are at the El Pacifico, it's 73 degrees. Are you ready for that?
Well, what is going on? Is this the beginning of the end? Is this the apocalypse?
No. 73 degrees, though. It's going to get down to 61. By 5 a.m., it'll be in the 50s, the upper 50s. It'll be 57 degrees. That's as low as it's going to get. Now, tomorrow, it'll be 68 degrees. God, that is a hot 73 right now. You ready for that? L.A. at 64. What the hell is going on around here?
Well, I don't... Maybe it's something that's happening here at the El Pacifico because I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it's... Maybe this is the portal for the Antichrist.
Yeah, the portal for the Antichrist.
You know something? Don't kid about that, bud, because I know that it's very unlikely, but if the Antichrist is looking for a portal, this is as good a place as any.
Right. So anyway, if the Antichrist is looking for a portal... 73 here. See, now I'm going to find out what the hell it was. Oh, Death Valley. I always keep Death Valley handy.
And why do you do that?
Because I always hear 45 degrees in Death Valley. Now, you tell me how it is that it's 73 here on the ocean. It's 45 in the desert. It's 45 in Tucson, Arizona right now. It's 43. It's 32 in Salt Lake City. All across the country, except for Miami and here, where it's 73 degrees. L.A. is 64. New York's 45. What's that about?
What about Washington?
D.C. is 41, and it's foggy right now. Or should be. I guess we could ask Nikki if there's fog out there, or is it just me? And it's foggy in, 41 and foggy. But only here is it 73. So it's been a real kook. It's been a kooky, wiggy kind of a day. Here at the El Pacifico. Network neutrality ruling gives the FCC a chance to revise regulations. Now, this was the network neutrality thing that I think somebody was referencing. The Federal Communications Commission network neutrality rules lose out on a narrow technical issue rather than on claims the FCC didn't have authority to regulate broadband carriers. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia focused on narrow technical grounds to overturn the FCC Commission's rules requiring non-discriminatory, non-blocking access to the Internet. However, the court avoided the broader assertions by Verizon that the FCC did not have the authority to regulate broadband providers, saying that it was clear that the FCC did, in fact, have the authority. So the FCC saying it had the authority to regulate a broadband provider like Verizon. Verizon saying, no, you don't. The FCC trying to make this a network neutrality issue, meaning everybody has equal access to these tubes of transmission, if you will. The problem, according to the court, is that the FCC had applied common carrier rules to an entity that isn't a common carrier. I don't know what any of this stuff means, you know.
Well, you had Harvey on the line, but you pissed him off.
Harvey he's too busy, man, with the Pottery Barn. Initially, the court's finding was greeted by cries around Washington that an internet apocalypse had just happened. Net neutrality is dead, the press releases cried. Immediate action is required today, said other equally distraught press releases. Headline writers echoed those frightening words. But as is frequently the case in Washington, reality isn't in the press releases. Rather, it's in the complete opinion, which lays out the very limited grounds where the FCC is wrong in its approach. Notably, the appeals court opinion rejects the vast majority of Verizon's arguments that claim the FCC has no right to regulate at all. The court rejected Verizon's position that Congress did not give the Federal Communications Commission jurisdiction over broadband access. All right, so in other words, what the ruling was, that Verizon's claims, or at least Verizon's rights, were upheld in some limited areas, but not in the broader overall. meaning Verizon claiming that they had the freedom to act without the constraint of FCC rules. That is wrong. Yes, they must adhere to federal guidelines, but the federal guidelines that they must adhere to are not in total what the FCC claims they are.
So it was a limited victory for Verizon, but a broader victory for the FCC.
Yes. And that would mean a broader victory for Mr. and Mrs. Internet guy, like me, for instance, my business being on the Internet. All I want is my little piece of the superhighway, of the information superhighway. I don't want the big tube, as Ted Stevens, the late Ted Stevens called it. I don't want a gigantic tube of access, just my little bit of access there. I don't think that we've had any problem getting information or getting, you know, our product to our consumers. But here's the thing, you know, today, as I mentioned, SoundCloud's down. SoundCloud is a big platform that provides all of the or a great many of the podcasts that people listen to. It's a place where you go to access these podcasts. Sideshow Network uses it. We use it. There's a lot of people who are podcast producers that use SoundCloud. SoundCloud today crashed. And when I say they crashed, I was not able to access the Bobby Dooley podcast, even though we had put it on the SoundCloud platform. I couldn't access it all day. What's going on there? Is this one of these net neutrality deals? Huh?
Well, now, don't get paranoid, for God's sake. You're all in a heap. You're getting weird.
I'm not getting weird. I'm just asking. Is that what it is?
Well, I think what the general is saying, let's wait till all the facts are in.
Well, I'm not even saying that we got to wait for all the facts to be in. I'm just saying, was this one of those instances where you can't really track it down? There is no smoking gun. How do you find the smoking gun on things like this? Oh, geez, we're sorry. We weren't able to. It must be. How do you do that? I suppose far smarter people than I could do it. But at the end of the day, SoundCloud and people's access to the podcast on SoundCloud was unavailable. If that was a net neutrality issue, if there was somebody hogging the superhighway of grooviness on the Internet, I don't know. But that was what was happening today. Today was very squirrely, man. It was like 80 degrees at the beach. SoundCloud was down.
Probably an earthquake's going to happen or something, or two tsunami.
What do you mean a tsunami?
Well, I don't know, Phil, but doesn't that all feel very weird?
Yeah, it's been a weird day. And exacerbated by the fact that I feel weird, you know, having been eating all that Kraft Services, Butterfinger, Snickers, and cheese sandwich food that I've been eating there at the old TV shoot. So, but I think that, you know, it's all going to smooth out tomorrow. I guarantee we come back here tomorrow, things are going to be groovy. If they're not at least smoothed out, they'll at least be a lot smoother, and I'll feel better about it if nobody else does. Again, our apologies to our subscribers tonight. The video cast is down. We did have a equipment problem. We didn't have a failure, but we actually went offline, so we didn't have a failure. We had some equipment that was just overheating. And I don't blame it for overheating. If I could talk to it, and it could talk to me, it would probably say, I quit, and I would say, I don't blame you. Good luck in your future endeavors. No, it was just...
Well, you said it's a very hot room, and it is. It's extremely uncomfortable in here. And the night started off strange. I'm trying to explain to you how I felt an eerie feeling going by that brothel in Park City, and you took that to mean I felt an invisible hand going down my panties.
You said that that's what it was.
I didn't use that. If I use that term, I apologize.
Thank you very much. I'm glad you apologized, Margaret, because, yes, you did use that term. I didn't use that term.
I don't remember did I say an invisible hand went down my panties?
Yeah, you did.
I didn't ask you.
Yes, you did. We'll be right back with more world-famous Phil Henry Show. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Now, what song is this, bud? Jesus is just all right with me. The reason why I'm playing this is, well, actually, I'm just playing it because it's a bumper music.
Well, you saw the Madeline Murray O'Hare story.
Yes. I saw on Investigation Discovery today, which, of course, is one of my favorite channels of all time, the Madeline Murray O'Hare story, General.
Well, Madeline Murray, now you have to tell people who she was. She was an atheist, and she caused an awful lot of problems in this country.
Well, you know, yes, she did. However, Madeline Murray O'Hare, a famous atheist, if you don't know who she is, it's okay. I'll tell you who she was. She was a Baltimore housewife and mother who sued a school system in 1963, I believe, so that her son would not have to recite Bible verses before class. And many people probably think Madeline Murray O'Hare, people of my age, probably think it was Madeline Murray O'Hare who started the no prayer in school thing. No, it was not her. Her lawsuit had to do with Bible verses. Prayer in school had already been the subject of a federal lawsuit a year before. No, she became famous because she also eliminated Bible readings and became the face of atheism in America, if you will, the American Atheist. And in fact, she started an organization called American Atheists. And she was extremely outspoken. She was a loquacious woman. She was not shy. She gave speeches and addressed groups all over the country. Became very, very well known for this particular issue, and was, in point of fact, not just an atheist. She was anti-religion, man. I mean, a lot of people could say that she sort of went overboard.
Well, I don't know. I think Madeline Murray O'Hare was a very courageous woman. I think she said things. One of the things that Madeline Murray O'Hare said.
What are you doing?
What?
Well, you're kicking your legs out and everything, acting like you're all giving a speech.
I'll do whatever I want. Would you tell him?
But don't criticize people how they're talking.
You do. Yeah, I'll talk about lazy lip.
Well, you do talk about how I talk about that. You don't like that, do you?
No, it drives me ape. If you wouldn't, never mind.
Yes, it happens to be an affectation of delivering an important point. Okay?
Oh, boy. Phil, I don't blame you. It's bugging me, too.
Never mind.
So she said something that I think is very true. If you question God, which is the ultimate authority, if you are an atheist, you question God, who is the ultimate authority, then you should not fear questioning any other authority. And that, I think, was very, very true and is a very valuable statement. And let's remember that it was Madeline Murray O'Hare that gave us the ultimate and, I think, deciding moment in history where there was the separation of church and state. I'm Margaret Gray.
Well, I...
Wait. When I say I'm Margaret Gray, there's no more disagreement. Isn't that the deal, Phil?
Yeah, that's the deal, but you don't get to just say I'm Margaret Gray whenever you feel like it, you know.
Well, did I say anything anyone's going to disagree with? No.
I do.
I'm Margaret Gray.
Look, Margaret, that's not a magic phrase, all right?
Wait, hold on for a minute. When you say I'm Margaret Gray, no one gets to disagree?
That's my lockout.
Here, I got a lockout for you. I'm General Galen Shaw, and you bug me.
Ow!
Do that.
Well?
Margaret, you can't just say, I'm Margaret Gray, that's the end of it.
Then what was the agreement we had?
When it's your segment, okay? We're still talking about this.
Boy, I'll tell you, Henry, you know what? You can't be trusted. Give this guy five fingers, and he hands back four.
Anyway, so I'm watching this thing today, Madeline Murray O'Hare, and she was very famous. I never knew this. A lot of people listening probably do, and some of you guys that are listening, you don't even know who the hell she is. But I can tell you, the separation of church and state, as it is understood today, is really in large measure due to Madeline Murray O'Hare. And like her or hate her, and there were a lot of people that hated her. And I think a lot of people hated her not because she was an atheist, but because she was so anti-religion. She also was, she just believed in bringing down any of what could be viewed as traditional moral authority. She just believed in compromising and attacking and wrecking, if she could, anything that was viewed as the traditional moral authority. Her son, one of her sons, who had actually been converted to Christianity, I think his name is William Murray, claims that she had statuettes, small figurines, and art pieces around the house of individuals fornicating, of animals fornicating and so forth, or animals having sexual or mating, I should say.
Animals are animals. They're not human beings.
I understand that, Margaret. I was looking for the right term.
Mating is the term.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Animals don't make love.
We got it. So,
Margaret, you know what? You'd be well advised. Every time you open your mouth, I feel like I'm getting acid reflux.
I'm trying to point some things out.
All right, fine. Anyway, Madeline Murray O'Hare goes through her life, and now she has developed sort of a relationship with one of her sons, John Murray, who is just absolutely dotes on his mother. He waits on her hand and foot. He just does everything she says. He never really develops any relationship with any woman at all in his life, other than with his mother, in terms of, you know, it's not anything other than, but he's just a slave to her wishes. And she also gets custody of her granddaughter, the daughter of her son, William Murray. These three people now live together. In 1994, 1993, a man comes to work for them. And I wish I had the name of the guy. Taylor was his name? William something. But there were three guys involved in this. And he's the office manager. He's the office manager for American Atheists. And apparently he burglarizes the office. Some $54,000, $54,000, I think, worth of petty cash and other things are taken from the office. She finds out about it. She becomes extremely vitriolic, and I think either the guy is arrested or has the guy arrested or otherwise is looking to be recompensed somehow for this theft, and generally is extremely vicious in her reprisal against this man. And he, this guy, I think the name is Taylor, becomes in his own way vindictive. He wants revenge against this woman who would dare, attack him for stealing. Now, this is a guy that's already a you can well imagine he's a psychopath. So that is the case there. This guy plots to have this woman, kidnapped. And, in fact, he does effect the kidnapping of Madeline Murray O'Hare a year later, along with her son and granddaughter. They're kidnapped. They are held against their will, her son John and granddaughter Robin. They're held in a motel while the son is sent out by these kidnappers to cash in cougarans, to get blank checks and write cash amounts, and essentially drained the resources, liquefied and then drained all the resources of Madeline Murray O'Hare and the American Atheists, I think. Before they wound up killing all three of them. And that was the part, the guy's name was Waters, that's it, David Roland Waters. He had been a typesetter for American Atheists. And he'd also had previous convictions for violent crime. So this woman, Madeline Murray O'Hare, brought this guy into her business, I think knowing, and I don't think there was, this was the kind of woman that knew everything about everybody. I don't think she hired anybody without knowing who the hell they were. Brought this guy into her business. He winds up kidnapping all three, draining all of the assets of the family, and then murdering all three of them by strangling them. And I won't go into the details. They do in the show as to the specifics of how these people were killed. It's just absolutely, it was a story of such biblically tragic proportions. Going from the landmark position that Madeline Murray O'Hare had in American history in terms of American jurisprudence and constitutional law and the way we understand our Constitution and the separation of church and state, and then
you said separation of church and outer space.
Yeah, I think you did. I didn't say separation of church and outer space.
You're really something, Dickman, you know that?
That's what I thought he said.
Well, just because you thought I said it didn't mean I said it. So anyway, she went from this really, I think, significant place in American history to being strangled, dismembered, and dumped out in a field in Texas, man. And it wasn't until 2002 when they had finally convicted this turd. And by the way, the Austin Police Department was ripped a new ass by a reporter by the name of Robert Bryce, ripped an ass by the FBI. The FBI, I don't think, ever made a public statement about the Austin police, but in private, the FBI, in the person of their agents, was said to have rolled their eyes. When anybody asked them about the Austin PD and what their how they dealt with this case, because this was all down in Austin and San Antonio, the federal guys were like, man, don't ask me. These clowns, I don't know what they were doing. They had their thumb up their ass through the whole thing, because it did take the federals coming into this thing to finally solving it. But they finally found the decomposed skeletal remains, dismembered remains of the son, granddaughter, and Madeline Murray O'Hare. And they identified her by way of a prosthetic hip that she had, the serial number. This is another way, however tragic, of identifying people who are unidentifiable any other way. You can actually take any kind of a prosthetic body part. There are serial numbers, and you can identify somebody that way. So it was fascinating, and it was ghoulish, and I got to tell you, as much of a, I don't know, a history buff as I am, I had no idea this was how she'd met her end. Murdered, and then, you know, robbed, kidnapped, robbed, murdered, body dismembered, and boom, by some psychopath that she had made the big mistake of hiring as an office worker. Wild, wild stuff. So says our brother, Johnny Carson. Although he didn't say it about this particular case.
I was going to say.
Right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And online at philhendryshow.com is our video cast, which is down for this evening. We've had a little bit of a technical snafu this evening. We're also on TuneIn, and we don't hold back on shouting that from the highest rooftops. If you are not available, I mean, if our show is not available to you in your local place, wherever it is that you live, then by all means grab it at TuneIn. And it is live there, and it is on our own channel, the Phil Hendry channel, so it's, I think, very, very convenient. We've just been kind of going down all this stuff here tonight, and I just remembered I just remember that whole thing that I saw about this Madeline Murray O'Hare, you know.
Well, what she was talking about, praying in school.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, see, prayer in school...
Well, you look, Bud... Prayer in school at one time was something that children could do until this atheist came along and she said, no, you can't. And I can't tell you.
She didn't say, no, you can't.
Well, she's the one with the big bazoo.
General, it was her constitutional right.
Wait. Hold on for a minute. I'm talking. This woman came along with the big fat mouth and she said, I da 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 da. Am I right or am I wrong?
No, she didn't go, ah, bah, 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 bah.
She said she didn't want her son reading Bible verses. What's wrong with that?
Oh, there's nothing wrong with that, except we have a generation of young people now that are godless, mindless, raving things. Instead of young people in ties and cordovan shoes and navy blue slacks, which is the way I like to see a youth.
Uh-huh.
What's that supposed to mean, uh-huh?
That sounds like you want to dress a boy up.
Why, you dirty little...
Hey! God, came at my throat!
I'll go at your throat any day of the week. You calling me some kind of a chicken hawk?
What are you talking about, General? Talking about a guy in a navy blue slack.
I'm saying that I think a youth should be dressed in navy blue slacks with a tie. How does that make me some kind of a oiled-up chicken hawk?
It doesn't.
And what are you laughing at?
I'm not laughing at anything. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're not laughing at anything.
Phil, you can't sit there, Phil, and go, and then say you're not laughing at anything.
Well, General, look, no one's saying that young people shouldn't be fine, upstanding people, but we are talking about the Constitution of the United States, right?
No one knows the Constitution, but I fought for this country to defend that Constitution. You understand that?
Yes, sir, I do.
So what are you trying to tell me? I don't understand the Constitution?
I'm just saying that the separation of church and state is a pretty important doctrine. It is a part of the Constitution. Whether it was Madeline Murray O'Hare or somebody else that came up with it, yes, she wasn't a very likable person. I'll give you that. But you want to know something? She didn't break any laws. She was just a kind of an unlikable person for some people. Other people thought she was an important person.
Well, why'd this guy get so bent out of shape that he decided to kidnap her, rob her, and then chop her up into little pieces and pitch her in a vacant lot someplace?
I'll tell you, the whole thing with this cat that killed Madeline Murray O'Hare, it had nothing to do with the fact that he didn't like the fact she was an atheist. It had nothing to do with the fact that he didn't dig. He just wanted to rob her ass because she had busted him. She'd humiliated him. She caught him stealing 54 G's from the office, something in that neighborhood. And she got pissed, you know.
Well, one of the things in this show that I think it was pointed out, I think it's a very good point, there was no way they could let her go, because if they'd let her go, she would have sought them to the ends of the earth, you know?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. These guys that kidnapped them and stole from them, they believed, they had all three of them believing. That's why the son, John, went out and got all these blank checks and got all this cash and went and got all these gold cougarans and essentially got all of these assets liquefied to the point where these kidnappers could take possession of it with the belief that they would be let go. That is, Madeline Murray O'Hare, the grandson and the son, rather, and the granddaughter would be let go after all of this was transferred to these guys. They believed this, and the observation was made, if you think about it, especially this guy Walters, who had worked for her, there's no way he's going to let her go, because Madeline Murray O'Hare was a son of a gun, man. This woman was going to chase your ass to the ends of the earth and burn your ass down if you stole from her. And she was vindictive and vicious and ready to go after anybody. And he probably knew that. He had already been turned over to the cops by her.
So there was no way he was going to let her go.
No way, man. No, I wonder if she knew that. She must have known that. She must have known. I'll tell you one thing. If she didn't, that is the most amazing moment of naivete in the life of a woman who otherwise was known for her savvy and her smarts and her sophistication and the inability of people to put one over on her. If she actually believed these guys are going to let her ass go, then it was a moment of wishful thinking that, you know, I don't think anybody would ever really attribute to somebody like that. It turned out, you know, they didn't. The thing that I watched today was, and this must have been the testimony of Walters, because they gave him a stint in federal prison, which is where he stayed until he died of lung cancer. They let him go to federal prison, because apparently federal prison is a lot easier. It's a lot easier time to do than state. And in exchange, he told them exactly what happened. And one of the things he said was that she seemed okay until the day that they killed them. And she looked uneasy, and she was, you know, making some complaints and so on and so forth. She was worried. You know, she was worried.
Yeah, she believed it up to then.
Well, if she believed it up to then, point is, if Madeline Murray O'Hare believed that they were going to let her go, she must have been really fooling herself for whatever reason. I guess that's how you keep yourself sane, man. Who knows? So that was that story. It was pretty nuts. It was a pretty goofy. It was a very interesting story, man. I got to tell you, I didn't even have any idea as to the, who knows, as to the depth of this thing. Okay, one final note here, folks. Breaking news that I think is really important. Not that anybody else does. The United States can send somebody to Mars by 2030.
All right. Yeah.
The United States and NASA can lead the way in sending human explorers to Mars by the 2030s, but it's going to take a sustained commitment to the incremental steps that will get us there. A working group of scientists, scholars, astronauts, aerospace industry veterans, and other experts said this week. Fat chance, man. I don't know. The group on Tuesday published the findings of an early December workshop at George Washington University in a report titled Affording Human... Hey, let me ask you guys a question. What difference does it make whether or not we go to Mars, you know? Turn that off, bud.
Oh, sorry.
What difference does what make?
If we go to Mars or not. I mean, does it matter?
Well, I was going to answer that question until you decided to play War Pigs. Now I'm... All bets are off.
It's nothing personal, General.
Why, you dirty...
World famous Phil Hendry show. We'll answer the question tomorrow. And if you're saying anything, Nikki, say it louder because I, you know. We'll be, did you say anything? Okay. World famous Phil Hendry show. We'll be back tomorrow night, same time, same thing. And we're also, we'll probably have the video cast back up and running, I hope, by then. Until then, this is Phil Hendry bidding you adieu from the 73-degree El Pacifico.